This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I would be just fine with Derek Carr being the quarterback of the New York Jets.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Well, hold on.
I would be happy with it.
Just fine, or are you happy?
I would be happy.
Today's guests, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran, Super Bowl winning head coach Bruce Arians, TCU quarterback Max Duggan from the new film Cocaine Bear, actor O'Shea Jackson Jr. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, do we have a great show here in store for you today on this Wednesday in February 2023, live on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show. Terrestrial affiliates smart enough to have a Sirius, an XM, an Odyssey. And if you're listening to us on our podcast version all 3 hours, this is going to be a long listen, but it's going to be a quick listen, because you have got 3 hours of top-notch content, and I could absolutely start this program with the usual of introducing my guys, Chris Brockman, Jay Felly, who's in for DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts, and I could start this show by telling TJ Jefferson to light this candle, and technically, I am doing that. TJ, light the candle. Do that. I could also
ask and you shall receive.
I can also start by talking about the five guests that we have on. Tom Curran to talk about, is Mac Jones out there for the offing? What are the Patriots going to do with their quarterback spot? There's a quarterback carousel that's spinning out of control, it seems, already.
Yep.
I could talk to you about how Bruce Arians, Super Bowl winning head coach and potential future Hall of Fame head coach, is going to be calling into the show. And then Al Michaels calls in on the 43rd anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. And I could tell you that Max Duggan is going to be calling into the show, one of the top prospects to come out of college football. And you know, I'm a little bit jumpy because I saw Cocaine Bear last night. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is going to be here in studio to talk about that movie.
Wow,
I could talk about all that stuff, but I'm going to start with this fact. I'm going to use this real estate for myself. I wanted to get a cup of coffee, nice hot coffee, to start this show here in front of me, and somebody did not fill the water in the Keurig machine, and I need a name, and I need it now. I need a name, and I need it now. I've talked about this on the Roku channel. I've used this real estate. I couldn't do it, and I need my caffeine. I'm Caffeine Bear. Okay, I'm Caffeine Bear. Okay, is that you, Felly? Is it you?
No, I just saw. I'm
There's
sorry.
There's someone
I'd go
in
for
this
it.
Room drinking tea. So I
come on.
Are we doing this again? Are we really doing this again? Really?
All right. So I have to wait for the first commercial break to get my coffee.
Because how hard is it? There's water that's literally 8 feet from where the Keurig is.
Yeah, I know. But when you actually have only 2 minutes to go before a show,
right?
You know.
You didn't know until 2 minutes before that you would want some coffee.
No. I was sitting here preparing for the program.
Okay.
While some were just sitting around getting ready to light a candle and not fill up a Keurig machine. I'm pissed. I'm a bear. I'm a caffeine bear, and I'm coming for people.
You know what he doesn't mention? Yesterday, when he saw me walk in and grab a bunch of bottles of water and take them out and fill up the Keurig and put them next to it. You see, nobody mentioned
it
that.
So you'd say, yeah.
I don't know if it was me or not. I don't know who was in there after me.
Okay.
But I know I fill that thing up more than anyone in this place.
So here's what I will do. I will take this mug that you can get on richeisenshop.com and turn it upside down just to prove I don't have anything in here. But at any rate, good to see you.
It was.
It is still. Yeah. Hey, part of the reason why I'm a little bit off kilter as well, I'm not comfortable with the Jets being front and center as the way they are right around February 22nd, 23rd, like we have the last 48 hours. I'm not too happy about it, especially since we were supposed to be passing all this stuff. Zach Wilson was supposed to go in year three and get us to the AFC Championship game in year three, if not the Super Bowl. Already have one in the case, because Tony Romo told me his ceiling was Patrick Mahomes, and all he's got is the floor of Geno Smith 1.0. You all right? Like, I'm looking at him with all due respect. I see Ray Lucas numbers.
Ray Lucas.
Okay? So I don't like it. I don't like it because I thought we were supposed to be past this by now. Instead, we're going to year three of Zach Wilson, and I'm hearing like the Jets are telling Derek Carr. And by the way, Diana Rossini, who I saw on the red carpet at NFL Honors, your information's making me nervous. Maybe I should be glad that somebody didn't fill up the Keurig machine this morning. A little jumpy. She's telling me that the Jets told Derek Carr that he could be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he shows up in New York. And then today she says how the Jets are really interested in him. Nothing but positive reviews per sources. But now they wait for Aaron Rodgers to emerge from the darkness and inform the Packers of his plans because the Jets are willing to speak to Green Bay about a trade if the Packers are willing. Now, I've already said this. I'm from New York City. I'm from New York City. A 53-year-old man born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island, former staff writer, intern of the Staten Island Advance newspaper. I've got my finger on the pulse of New York sports. I've lived it. I am it. I called into Mike and the Mad Dog. Steve Summers overnight on WFAN. I know the sports fan in New York City. I do not believe Aaron Rodgers is a fit for that spot. I do not believe it. Because, and trust me, he's incredibly talented. And showing up there in New York City, everything that he has said outside of the world of sports will be brought up to him at his locker in a way that has not been in Green Bay or in other spots where he may show up. And if this is an important part of his DNA and what he's got to say and how he's got to live his life, and as you know, he has a very specific way of living his life, and he's very attuned into the way he lives his life. I do not believe he will appreciate the discourse. Will that affect his play? I don't know. I don't think so either. I just don't know if this is the fit. And why the Jets are sitting there thinking this can be the fit. If they are, be ready for some battle royales and some press conferences. And if that doesn't matter and then Sunday hits and he starts balling out and we see the Rodgers of 2020, 2021, his COVID MVP seasons, as he calls it, we see that guy. All right. Clearly I'm signing for that. I'm concerned. I know the way New York works. I know the way that sometimes Rodgers doesn't make a play in Green Bay because he's not perfect. He's first ballot Hall of Famer. My kids are going to go into Canton, Ohio, and their kids will go into Canton, Ohio, and the kids after that will go into Canton, Ohio, and then we'll see Aaron Rodgers bust. The first second he can have a bust made, it will be made for him. He is that incredible. And I've loved watching him play, and he's been incredibly entertaining. But over the last 2-3 years, the way that he speaks his mind on issues outside of the world of sports in New York City, it just seems to be a bad mix if he doesn't make the throws in New York in the ways that he didn't make throws in Green Bay. He will hear about it in a way that he's never heard about it in Green Bay, and does that matter? I'm concerned I don't have an answer for that, and it won't unless we see it in person, and it looks like the Jets are going to do that. The reason why I like Derek Carr instead of Rodgers also is it doesn't cost the Jets a single draft choice. Mm-hmm. Doesn't cost them a draft pick. Just costs them Woody Johnson dollars. That's it. It's Woody's money. Spend Woody's money. That's it. Mm-hmm. And if they think he can be a first ballot Hall of Famer, then too salute. I'll sign up for that too. Just this whole stuff makes me nervous because we're supposed to not be doing this now. We're not supposed to be doing this. It's supposed to be Zach's show, Zach's Fifth Avenue. Goldman Sachs. That's what we're talking about. So, man, it's making me nervous. I'm jumpy about it because I don't know what the answer is. Because, as I said yesterday, answer could potentially be Zach Wilson eventually is the guy. And I guess if you get Carr, if Carr's willing to sign for like 3-4 years and be the Jets' Alex Smith, while Zach does reach the Mahomes ceiling, and so be it.
Were they giving out samples at the movie last night?
They were not. They were not, sir.
How dare you? Yo-yo.
How dare you? How dare you? I'm Caffeine Bear.
Take it easy, okay?
And I'm upset I don't have any more of it. And you should see Cocaine Bear and see what happens when that bear isn't getting more than what the bear wants.
Ooh, watch out.
I hate it. Okay. So, I don't know. What is Joe Douglas thinking? What is Saleh thinking? And what is, of course, Aaron Rodgers thinking? Because, man, if I'm the Jets, if the Jets think that Derek Carr can be a first ballot Hall of Famer in their spot, as Diana Russini of ESPN says they told him in selling their system and selling their world to him, you come here, you can be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That means they think they can win two Super Bowls with him in his tenure there.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and he's 32. So what did you say before the show? Two in 8
That's
years.
That's two right? in the next eight. Assuming he plays till 40.
So if
so the Jets are winning 25% of the next Super Bowl.
Yes, correct. So
okay.
If they think that, then why are they waiting for Aaron Rodgers? Why are they waiting to see what Aaron Rodgers is doing? Unless they can't wait. They got to... Or these are just, you know, reports that are accurate, but, you know, there are other teams that have done the same with the Green Bay just checking in. You know, I'm supposed to be done with this, and I don't know what to make of it, and I don't like it. So here's how we're going to handle it. We're going to talk about the Patriots instead.
The good part about the whole Jets thing is that people are forgetting about us because we have a little bit of a disaster.
We're
going to
talk about
on.
The Patriots instead. I don't think you got a disaster going on.
I mean, I don't know. It depends what day it is, how I feel about it.
Because Jets are clearly in the quarterback market, correct? Right?
Yeah, for
All right.
sure, no doubt.
The Raiders are definitely in the quarterback market, correct?
The yep. Raiders.
Nice. The Colts are definitely in the quarterback market.
Yeah,
seems like every year.
The Texans are definitely in the quarterback market. They may fill their spots in the draft. And that's about it. Will the Ravens be in the quarterback market because Lamar is sent packing? Are the Dolphins in the quarterback market because they don't believe Tua will be ready or they think they need to have some sort of a solid backup plan? I'm just talking about the AFC right now.
Yeah.
Nobody thinks the Patriots are in a needy quarterback situation unless the pieces move around and they are, in fact, as upset with Mac Jones for being outwardly vocal
understandably
last year, and they want to get rid of him. They feel like they saw last year was something that causes them to want to upgrade. Is that the truth? Because if that happens, if let's just say the whole saga of the kid that they drafted in the first round, their first kid they drafted in the first round since Drew Bledsoe was drafted in the first round at the position.
Number one overall.
The guy who was replaced by Tom Brady and the guy who follows Tom Brady is followed by the guy that Tom Brady was concerned about being around and forced to be traded somewhere else. And he's the one who follows the guy who followed Tom Brady, who followed Drew Bledsoe. Is it Jimmy G coming? Where everybody feels maybe Rodgers isn't going to Vegas because, you know, Josh McDaniels is set in his ways and he doesn't want Guy and Aaron Rodgers coming there and have to figure out how to mesh comfort zones and offenses. He runs his way and he wants Jimmy G because Jimmy G was the guy in New England. And who could step in to stop that from happening but New England and Bill Belichick? Is that possible? Hmm. It's a fascinating question, and it's even more of interest to me because it takes my mind off the Jets. Now then, let's get to today's program, shall we?
Let's do it.
Tom Curran's going to be joining us next. Also on this show, A.J. Brown has spoken up about what would happen about Jalen Hurts and his contract, if Jalen doesn't get paid, what happens to him? That was an interesting one. We got Bruce Arians calling in. I haven't spoken to BA in a while. Then Al Michaels calls in on the 43rd anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. We take a memory stroll. It's the 73rd birthday of the guy that you have behind you, TJ Jefferson.
My idol.
Dr. J. I've got a special power rankings later on in hour number two based off of doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Famous doctors. Max Duggan is calling into this program. How dare he call into this program? Oh, we invited him. That's right. Just to show you the Fiesta Bowl. I'm not taking it that hard.
What if he calls in and he's just like, hey, Rich, great Fiesta Bowl, huh?
And then I'll say to him, yeah, it was. For you. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is calling into this show. I mean, he's stopping and pardon me, physically.
Oh, yeah.
Saw him last night on the red carpet at Cocaine Bear. He didn't see me. He will be seeing me today. Caffeine Bear, Rich Eisen. So let's take a break. If you want to call us, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, we'll have a conversation. Which quarterback do you want for your team? I'm open to hear from you because it takes my mind off the Jets. And I'd appreciate that. Right here on this program, we're going to take a break. And in the 2 minutes, I'm going to fill up the Keurig and I'm going to get a cup of coffee.
Do it.
Tommy Curran, send up the signal for Tommy. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Back here, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network has rejoined the Roku channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Back here on the program, one of our favorites from NBC Sports Boston, Tom Curran, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Tom?
Tremendous. There's bad bets that you lose.
Yes.
And there's good bets that you lose.
Okay.
And you can't factor in the possibility that a highly capable quarterback is going to fumble when being tackled by air and then punt it back towards his own end zone and have somebody scoop and score on that.
Thank you.
They handed them a touchdown in a very competitive game. The Eagles was still the right bet. The Eagles were the better team that day.
Agreed.
Regardless of what happened in the final 30 minutes. And I regret nothing.
By the way, I agree with you.
I know, because as you told the Roku channel audience, our radio audience needs to be reminded, you took the Eagles, Chris, in Super Bowl 57, as did our friend Tom Curran. And you pointed that out without Tom being able to retort on the Roku channel, and you just used this proper space.
I was yelling.
You were not retorting. Look, you were
Tom,
yelling back.
We were right.
No, man. I mean, that was it was a razor's edge situation. What did you think of the hold? What did you think of the holding call, Tom?
Had to be done. He did two things. He didn't just do one thing. He did two things. And it sucked. And it's a shame. But it wasn't just a grab of the shirt. It was a spin of the hips. So the two things combined, you know, you're out there on an island on the edge. We can talk, oh, there's holding on the interior every foot. You're not on the edge with the limelight on you and the quarterback staring that guy down. I don't think there would have been a massive outcry had there not been a flag, like in the 2012 Super Bowl won by the Ravens. Obviously, they interfered on the final play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't called, but we don't sit around saying, well, the Ravens only won that Super Bowl against the Niners because they didn't call that foul. But I think we will remember the flag being thrown for a long time. But I don't know. He did two things. you had to throw it.
Tom Curran here on the Rich Eisen Show from NBC Sports Boston. Let's just jump straight into it. Are the Patriots on the quarterback carousel this spring or not? What do you got?
Great question. Absolutely, positively not. That would happen over Robert Kraft's dead body.
Really?
We'll talk about that in 2024 if it's another mediocre season. But this notion that the Patriots would move on from Mac Jones after last July at the outset of training camp, when Bill Belichick talked about Mac Jones made a drastic improvement from an already highly impressive rookie year. If they now want to move on from him and his $4.36 million salary or whatever it is because of what happened in 2022, well, who's holding the smoking gun for what happened? The coach. The decisions. I think that if he walked to Robert Kraft and said, yeah, I'm thinking about moving on from Mac here. I mean, it's just, you know, he was really surly. I think Robert Kraft would say, you out of your mind? He's making $4 million? He was a good player last year. He's a bad player now. You want to move on from? Why is that? And he'd have to say, well, because we did nothing to help him. So I think that any speculation that Mac Jones would be trade bait or considered a trade object in 2023 is cuckoo. Next year might be a different story with him having entering the final year of his contract and whether or not the Patriots pick up the fifth-year option. But this year, absolutely not.
So if I am James Garoppolo's representative looking for a new spot, doing my due diligence, I'm not calling New England because you know what the answer is going to be, or do you take the shot anyway? Tom.
I think you take the shot anyway if you're Don Yee, and I think right. He remains Jimmy's agent.
Yep.
Because Bailey Zappi has shown himself to be a capable 10-2, I can start a couple of games and not ruin things for you quarterback. He did it in, you know, portions of four games, two wins. So you know you have that, but do you have the veteran? Brian Hoyer is still under contract, but more and more in the cameos we've seen from him, he's either been a little bit injury prone or a little bit scattered, even though I think he could still be a capable backup quarterback. He's almost 38. So you need a capable backup in case Mac gets hurt. He's shown great toughness, but I'd still do that. But I just think that the Patriots owe Mac Jones and themselves the opportunity to see what they have in the 15th overall pick. He was a good player as a rookie. If it wasn't for Jamar Chase's flurry at the end of that season, Mac Jones would have been the offensive rookie of the year. He was the leading candidate for that most of the season. And then he's had a bad season. But he doesn't have to deal with Cam Newton in this training camp, and he's not a rookie, and he doesn't have to deal with uncertainty and an offensive switch and everything else this year. So see what you have.
Well, then let's move to what Bill O'Brien brings to the table for Mac Jones.
Sure.
And what you think that plan is, then, because if you're saying, you know, not if you're saying, you just said that Robert Kraft is dead set against anything other than Mac Jones, and Belichick is now called up the guy who, you know, read Brady riot acts or didn't stand down from Brady when Brady was Brady in New England. What does O'Brien bring to this equation for Mac Jones, do you think, Tom?
He brings a plumber to fix a sink as opposed to a finished carpenter, which is what the Patriots tried to have to with last year.
what an analogy. Yeah.
What O'Brien brings, check this out. In 2010 and 2011, O'Brien presided over what will still be the greatest combined tight end seasons of all time. Regardless of what was going on off the field, not as great. Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez in 2011 and 2012 were beyond productive. They set records. And I wish I had the numbers at my fingertips right now to show you, but it's like,
no, you're right.
They combined like 65 touchdowns, 3,000 yards over two seasons, the two of them. So the Patriots right now are saddled with, again, by a long shot, the two highest cap numbers among tight ends in the NFL, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. Together they have cap hits of like $37 million. So in order to get something out of them, the best guy to bring back would be somebody like Bryant. So that's just using the assets. How will he impact Mac? What Mac's problem was, and the Boston Herald did a good job of articulating this, he'd go to the line of scrimmage, and he wouldn't be able to – they wouldn't give him the answers to the test as to, okay, if this happens, then what am I doing? Which McDaniels could do, which he could do on his own. But the combination of Patricia, Judge, and Bill, really, were unable to really articulate, okay, this is the next level stuff. This is what we'll do if we see this. And we saw it all season long with game management and time management and simple loss of synchronicity in your plays and your rhythm and your play calling. They became predictable because he wasn't getting to the line of scrimmage and knowing what he was going to expect to see. There were occasions when people would say, wow, Mac's really busy at the line of scrimmage. Well, he was gesturing this way and moving that guy. That's because he was showing up at the line of scrimmage and having an unbelievable amount of work to do because they weren't ready for what they were seeing. So O'Brien will help him with those things and shepherd him through that, which is what you need.
So Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the follow-up to that is, what do you make of the reports that Bill and the staff and the front office or New England Patriots writ large had an issue with the way that Mac Jones was conducting himself on the sidelines so vociferously? What do you make of that, Tom?
I could see why they would, and I could see why it was alluded to, I think, by Jeff Darlington that others around the league, quote-unquote, had an issue with it. Look, there's a brotherhood among coaches. The coaches are not going to want to be shown up. And Mac Jones sucked it up until December 1st against the Buffalo Bills, when in prime time, when the Patriots were basically putting up a white flag and trying to save themselves on the scoreboard, Mac Jones slipped. Said, stop the quick game. Let's push it down the field. And he said it after the game. We have to be urgent. We have to be aggressive. I thought it was time to be aggressive. He wanted to win games, and the Patriots were trying to save face. He showed up the coaches that game. It was kind of excusable. He did it a little bit more against Arizona and a little bit against the Raiders. With just cause, but it did get tiresome. So I could see Bill Belichick saying, look, it's one thing to be irritated with what's going on, but you're starting to show me up by pointing out that these bad hires by me are really bad hires, and you're not on board with it. So I could see the Patriots having an issue with that. But I also think it's fed by every group has a brotherhood, whether it's media, quarterbacks, wide receivers, or coaches. And I wouldn't be surprised if the brotherhood of NFL coaches have Matt Patricia or Joe Judge's back in indicating, yeah, I didn't love the way he acted when he was faced with some adversity.
So,
but I don't think there's a divorce pending.
Okay. And so just to put a button on this, let's call it what it is, as you have many times. But I just find it hard to believe that the modern day Lombardi, the great, brilliant Bill Belichick, in year two of a crucial commodity, which, you know, quarterbacks can be referred to as such.
Absolutely.
You know, this crucial growth year for an asset, a human who the New England community fell in love with, which is so rare to fall in love with a kid after the GOAT leaves, that Belichick hired the wrong people, totally missed the mark on it. The kid chafed publicly. And that's what happened last year. I find it hard to believe that that's what happened last year, Tom. But you're saying that's exactly what happened last year.
You find it hard to believe of the act of misplaying it so badly?
Yeah, that Belichick would say, you know, I trust in two guys who you referred to as a carpenter to fix a leaky sink. You know, like,
right. I do too. And I think a lot of it has to do with confidence that Bill has developed over the year in his own acumen and in the acumen of, you know, he said it a million times. He's a good football coach. They know what they're doing. You know, Matt did this and Joe played quarterback and he had high confidence that it would be an easy transition, but they don't have enough humans on the coaching staff sometimes. And we've seen Adrian Clem come aboard. Billy Yates was a first year offensive line coach to a large extent. Matt was a first year play call. First-year offensive coordinator, and he was supposed to help with the offensive line. There's a time when Jimmy Johnson and Bill Belichick used to take a boat trip, and I don't know if it was Jimmy or Bill who came off of that, and they had a general view that every team in the league, they pretend will be their own worst enemy and defeat themselves at some point. So you're really only competing with 10 teams over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bill believes my acumen, my ability as a head coach, my ability to get the most from our players, and the smartness of Mac Jones, all those things together are going to help us negotiate things and be a successful team. In some ways, he wasn't wrong. 8-9 isn't a full-on embarrassment, but that's wasting a very good defensive performance for unwatchable offense. He overestimated, I think, is what he did.
So then, to wrap things up here, Tom Curran, is Patricia and Judge sticking around, reassigned, while Bill O'Brien just comes in and it's now his shop to handle Jones in the offense?
I'm not sure what the disposition is with Patricia. It seems as if Joe Judge is going to be part of things going forward.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, it's impossible to get even title explanations out of these guys. Because, as Bill says, titles don't matter. Well, of course they matter, and they matter to him more than anybody else because he doesn't give them out. Because he thinks that they are some kind of an implication of what an expectation should be. So mm-hmm. he obviously thinks titles matter. But we don't know. It seems as if Joe will almost certainly be back, and Matt is it's less clear on.
All right, and as I get ready to head to the Combine on NFL Network next week and then sit in this chair until the draft and then host the draft, and we're talking about
40.
And we're talking about and we're talking about the quarterback carousel. Do I no longer pound the drum wondering about Mac Jones? Like that, we should put that to bed here on February 23rd.
I would say that you can conclusively think that the Patriots organization is steadfast in wanting to know what they have in Mac Jones in year three. Steadfast. And by trading him, they'll never find out.
Tom, you're the man. Thanks for the answers. As
all
always,
right, buddy.
You take care, pal. See you soon. It's Tom Curran. Is that the way you said it?
Hey, it's Tom Curran.
Again. That's how we say goodbye to him as well.
And it was.
All right, Chris. Satisfied? You should be. You should be.
I think Mac
in year one was really sublime, man.
I think Mac is a good player.
Yes.
Unclear if he can be great, but I think Bill O'Brien is going to be a really really good person to have around.
I just can't. You know what?
The problem is they're going to lose Jacoby Myers. And as he said, you know, there's a lot of money locked up in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith.
So you might as well unlock him.
Might as
them.
Well let those guys
right.
try to go to work. You know, so we'll see what happens. But I am cautiously optimistic.
So I can't shake this with Mac Jones. And again, I know you're a fan and you're deep into it. And I can be somewhat removed from it. I can't shake Halloween 2021 when Susan and I brought the kids to
right
SoFi.
Over here. Yeah, against the Chargers.
And Patriots. And Mac Jones was in the midst of that hot winning streak that eventually propelled them into the playoffs.
Yeah.
They did get one and done by the Bills significantly, but they made the playoffs in his rookie season after Brady left. And yep. He was masterful. That's the only way to describe it. They took the Chargers out defensively. They took them out on defense is what I meant. They took out Justin Herbert defensively. They took him out. He was the kid off his game, not Mac Jones. And Jones was just methodical. He was like a machine. And I kept sitting there and I turned to Suze and I turned to, you know, the kids. Sometimes I'm just muttering to myself as a Jet fan, like, I mean, is this going to happen again here? Like, where the kid knows where to throw it, hits his back foot, throws it, and you can't stop it. And they just keep going down the field, and if they get three, great, because they'll just add three onto their one-score lead, and then suddenly it's a two-score lead, and then it's a three-score lead, and then he'll do stuff like break the pocket and slide down with 5 minutes to go because he knows the clock's ticking. Like, he was situationally aware. I remember that performance, and I remember I came back here on the show. I'm like, that's a playoff team.
Yeah, that was their second of what would be seven straight wins.
And I turned to you, and I came back on this set, and I'm like, bro, I saw a playoff team over the weekend.
You did say that, yeah.
I can't shake that. Same guy.
Same guy.
So then get somebody with, you know, if he was concerned, like, you know, hey, Bill, your buddies, your longtime, you know, colleagues – smart guys, you know, good coaches, but they don't know what they're doing. And I'm not buying whatever you're selling to me about this is the guys that I'm I'm in their care. Clearly, we didn't buy it. O'Brien, I think, walks in with buy-in on the spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I'd certainly hope so.
Well, yes.
And that's why he's there.
Right.
So
and
let's
so,
go.
So that,
yeah.
Check that box. And I think that's the smart move, man. See, year three, let's get back to year one. Yeah. Let's get him going. O'Brien is a perfect guy for it.
Let's trade for DeAndre.
Could be. I you know what? I don't know if the, I'm not an all 22 guy to know if that's the so-called fit. But draft some more. Use the tight ends. That your guy Ramondre Stevenson, TJ.
Yeah.
You were on that
2 years
from
ago.
Jump
preseason game. I was like, yo, look
he at this is thing. He. If Derrick Henry is business decision one, he may be 1A in the NFL.
People don't want to hit
okay,
him.
Okay, I mean, you don't want to hit him. And then he's got, you know, and then you just keep rolling 2, 3, 4 other guys out. That's why you can't depend on anybody. I mean, this is how good Ramondre Stevenson is. He's a Patriot running back you can depend on in fantasy.
I was actually trying to find some rankings, see where he's at.
So I kind of, you should listen to what Curran said, and I think you should feel better. Certainly more than the Jets, where I'm like, okay, I have no idea if the kid's any good. And all these highly expensive.
You pay a lot for the
quarterbacks that you're going to come in.
Yeah.
One of them is expensive deluxe that you would have to give up draft choices to get.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. When we come back, AJ Brown, quite a statement in support of Jalen Hurts getting paid in Philadelphia. Bruce Arians, Al Michaels, hour number two. Max Duggan, hour number three. O'Shea Jackson Jr. coming. In studio, hour number three in support of Cocaine Bear in theaters near you this weekend. Caffeine Bear sending the break here on The Rich Eisen Show. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit, we just played a clip from 2018 of Al Michaels sitting here in studio talking to Mike Ruzioni, reminiscing about the Miracle on Ice, but that wasn't on the actual day of the anniversary. Jim Craig, we zoomed with him and Al, right, on the 40th anniversary of it, I believe.
I think you're right.
And we also, the first year that we were on the, I don't forget, it was first or second year, we had Al here and we hooked him up with Ken Dryden. We're all about the Miracle on Ice whenever it happens for its anniversary, and it's the 43rd anniversary, and Al Michaels is going to be joining us in about a half an hour to reminisce the great Al Michaels. That's after Bruce Arians. We're rolling today, aren't we? Monster.com can help you tackle your job hunt. If you're looking for a new gig, you got to go to Monster.com. Put your resume right there, because when you do that with Monster.com, employers will already take a look at things on the spot. And also, even before a job gets open, Monster.com, employers using Monster.com can check you out and front load things. You can be recruited by them even before they post their jobs. That's how powerful Monster.com is. And so they have millions of job openings for you to check out there. Great coaching and career advice as well for that strong performance when it counts. And then when you score the position, not if, when you score the position, Monster.com salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. It's so awesome. Check it out. You're in the job hunt. You go to Monster.com, put your resume there, and watch Monster.com work for you. Win your job hunt with Monster.com. Max Duggan is the Monster Prospect of the Week. He's coming up in hour number three. That's how we're rolling today.
Love it.
Cocaine Bear last night. Saw it. Survived it.
Survived.
Got through it.
Nice.
I'm a flincher in movies. I flinch.
Just like gross. I mean, things, if scared. Okay.
Jumped. Like, I flinch. Like
loud noises.
If there was two for flinching last night from Susie, my left arm would be totally bruised.
Got it.
She sits. God bless her. Nothing. She sits there, but I'm jumping. I was jumping from like the first second. I was jumpy last night. Jumpy McJumpster last night. And that bear can sneak up on people. I don't want to spoil anything. I'll tell you two things.
Well, the name of the movie is Cocaine Bear.
First thing, this bear and Cocaine Bear loves cocaine. Okay? The bear loves coke. Oh, my God, does the bear love cocaine?
Diet or regular?
Dude.
Sugar-free.
No, you know, the straight butter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Likes it straight.
Pure.
Okay.
Uncut.
Consumes it many different ways. And, did you ever see the interview, I guess, Quentin Tarantino had? It's viral. It's gone viral. I think he's doing like a tour, a media tour, talking to some local news anchor who complains to him about his movies being too gory.
All right.
Why do you got to have it so bloody or so profane or bloody, I guess? And his answer was, he used her name, Jan. He goes, because it's fun, Jan. Did you ever see that?
No, but I can seriously see him saying
if
it.
If you ascribe to that notion, then Cocaine Bear is for you. I mean, I've met Elizabeth Banks many times. And her lovely husband, Max Handelman, who is her producing partner. Good people. Now look at them differently now. What is going on in their heads? Oh, my God.
The hell going on?
That's it. I did that last night quite a bit.
Belly.
Quite a bit last night when I was jumping.
Liz did say it was, she said it's kind of
Liz Banks.
I was talking about our Liz, but.
Yes. Oh, no. Liz. Oh, yes. Our Liz.
Our Liz said Liz saw it earlier and she was like, ooh, it's graphic.
Uh-huh. So be mindful of that.
I can't wait.
And it does not matter your real life celebrity when you're on this screen with this bear all coked up.
He's taking you out.
Well, not everybody.
I know.
Can't give any more away. Two things again. If you like gore and you like seeing people in bad spots get mauled by a cocaine bear, and that I'll give that away. And also, this bear loves cocaine.
I'm really glad that
I think people who like cocaine.
Oh my gosh. Liz Banks yes. Just went right through the front door with the title.
Right?
You know, like snakes on a plane in the day? It's snakes.
Put it out
we
there.
Got a plane.
Cocaine Bear.
What's
that movie about with Sam Jackson?
Right, exactly.
Snakes on a plane.
That's the name of the movie.
Yeah, sometimes you just walk through the front door.
Exactly. What's the name of the What's the premise of this movie?
Hit the nail on the head. And this movie hits the nail on the head.
Susie just texted me and Chris and said that we giggle every time you say cocaine bear because it's funny.
It's really funny.
It's two words that you never thought would come out of a sports show.
And she will attest. I was jumpy. I was jumpy last night. And she didn't do a thing. She didn't move. Man, it's impressive.
She didn't take the free sample.
I didn't take the free sample,
plus,
you moron.
Rich, you said the bear.
There were no free samples.
You said the bear
loves. I didn't even have the popcorn last night. I was
really
disciplined. Yes.
Why?
Because the first jacket I put on last night, Susie told me looked snug on me.
Oh, no. Ooh.
Snug. She used the word snug.
Well, you were on vacation a little bit, so.
Snug.
You know.
Uh-oh. Good thing I didn't go in the tank.
Got to start training.
You said the bear loves cocaine, and I think that's probably true of people. Like, I don't think people just like it. If they're doing it, they love it.
Yep. So that's my review of Cocaine Bear.
Great review. Might have to go see it this weekend.
I would say two thumbs up, but the bear's taking both thumbs off.
Ripped your arm off. Like,
I'm telling you, man.
So this wasn't a chill on Coke Bear. This
no,
was a
okay. No,
this
was like sir.
A drunk rampage.
This wasn't marijuana bear.
No. Nope. Completely different movie.
THC Bear, different movie.
Different movie.
Huggy Bear. No.
Now, this is 7-Eleven, and all of her snacks have been stolen.
I'm telling you.
Haribo Bear.
Haribo Bear.
Different movie. Nice. Different movie.
A.J. Brown, everybody. A.J. Brown has come up with a new way of the famous Deion Sanders phrase he would say all the time when we were doing NFL game day highlights, me, him, and Mooch, whenever there was a player with a highlight on the screen who was in a contract year, he would scream three words, pay the man. That's what Deion would scream, pay the man. That was his analysis of this highlight.
No matter who it was, Rich?
Jalen Hurts is in his walk year coming up, no matter who it was. Jalen Hurts is in his walk year coming up. Year four. We saw what he did in year two. Take him to the playoffs. Year three, damn near win the Super Bowl MVP. Now here comes year four. A.J. Brown had this to say. Which is the name of the podcast?
Raw Room Podcast.
Raw Room Podcast. Hit it.
They got to give Jalen a house and the building.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to come off
the state.
But that's the thing. That's another thing about having such great players, bro.
No, they got to give him. They got to pay him.
But then you're going to lose so much. You might lose some on the old line.
That's cool.
You're going to lose some.
But look, I'm not saying that's cool, but I'm saying, but like.
You're going to need that quarterback.
You got to pay, bro.
Got to pay. You got to have an elite quarterback anyway.
Listen. I love Philly. And what I'm about to say. You do not pay this man. Just ship me off wherever he finna go.
It's over.
I'm telling you.
Just deal me with him.
Listen, so you talk about pressure, Howie, get it done.
Get it done.
Love it.
By the way,
do I love A.J. Brown? Do we love A.J. Brown?
Love A.J. Brown.
I mean,
hey, yeah. Let's just put it. These love are two things. AJ two things. One, I love that Jalen Hurts has become this guy. It just shows you he is the guy, yep. Superstar. Cover of Madden, I would be stunned if he's not on there. That's what he has become. And players love him in his locker room and want to follow him.
Yeah.
That's what Jalen Hurts has become.
Love it.
It's an amazing ascension. It's so terrific. And number two is A.J. Brown, sir. Do not fret. Howie knows it. Howie gets it. Howie will pay him, and he will get paid, and they will figure out how to keep everyone else. I have no doubt in my mind that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman know who they have, what they have, and who they have is a dog, as he's told us he would be before getting drafted when he was on this show for the first time. And what he has is, I think, going into next season, the best receiver tandem in the NFL. How about that? So don't worry, AJ. Don't worry, Philly. It's going to happen. But I just love what Jalen Hurts has become. Love it. And then there was another piece of blowback for A.J. Brown from this podcast because he was wearing, what was he wearing?
Oh, man, A.J. Brown was wearing a Kansas City Royals hat.
Okay.
You know, spoiler alert, they just lost to KC in the Super Bowl. So people were giving him a hard time about that. And then A.J. Brown was like, oh, I don't even look at the team because I match the hat color to my outfit.
Who did that? Somebody did that recently, right? Didn't that also happen? I mean, that's... Where you're wondering why would he wear that hat?
Why would you wear that
hat? Because it matched
the
shoes. It matches. It matched the outfit.
I used to live my life by that principle.
Yeah. I match. I do that every day with my quarter zips.
You match them to your sneakers?
Yeah.
But you're not rolling in with a Red Sox hat because it matches the shoes.
There you go.
Look at that.
You know what I mean?
Look at that. This I did this today. Look at that.
I see that. I'm looking at you.
Okay, I see it.
By the way, all Brunello.
I don't even know what that is.
But you're not.
It's good.
But you're not. I would
imagine it's not bad.
You're not
Brunello Bear. I'm Brunello Bear.
You're not wearing the herd hat because it matches your shoes. You know what I mean? That's what A.J. Brown did.
Yeah, but you
good
know
point.
What?
Noted.
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 But,
I would never.
You
do
always
got
to match the hat to the sneaker to the you know whatever. So
yes, I do. You know, before leaving, I do the whole shoe.
You're not wearing a Rome beanie.
I'm matching my socks to my T-shirt today, so
I can keep going.
A McAfee tank?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I can't pull that look off.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess. LA, it can become suffocating.
Did something happen where you felt like I have to get out of here? Or do you just think it just happens sometimes?
I think it just happens, but also just everything going on in my personal life.
Like, I want to get on this mic and be like, this is what I've been dealing with for 14 months.
Give them Lala wherever you listen.